Well, now that the Iranians say that they will allow inspectors to see this second uranium enrichment plant, we thought we'd imagine what that inspection would be like. David Kay was chief weapons inspector for the International Atomic Energy Agency in the early 1990s, and he led the Bush administration's team searching for Iraqi weapons in 2003. I asked him what he would be looking for if he were inspecting the plant at Qom.
Well, the first thing, I'd want to be sure that I'm not given a tourist tour of the plant. A real inspection involves looking at the facility from the inside out, taking dimensions, asking for original drawings, what was the build-to specifications, measuring any footings for the centrifuges if they've been installed, how large were the centrifuges, where did the power come from, talking to the engineers who did the design and construction and the scientists who were going to operate it. So it's a long process. It's not something you do in one day.
So in the inspection of the Iranian facility, the inspectors would want to, first of all, be able to question the people who work there and the people who designed the building?
Absolutely. And you want to see the actual drawings, too. You don't want to rely on any single type of information. So if the people describe one thing, you want to have confirming evidence in terms of drawings as well as your own measurements of the site. You come with a full kit capable of doing surveys of a facility like this.
When you do an inspection like this, could you see that this piece of equipment obviously came from wherever, North Korea or Pakistan?
Usually, it's an amazing science. You usually can figure out exactly where it comes from, and that involves then following leads outside of, in this case, Iran.
Are there red flags you look for in a plant? Are there things that, say, at the Qom plant in Iran, that if you saw that, you would know this is up to no good, this is clearly only with the intent of making weapons?
Yes, there are certain ways that you put centrifuges together if you're going to run high-enriched uranium enrichment process here, because you do not want high-enriched uranium to come together in too large a mass. It'll cause a critical prompt, which means a lot of neutrons and a lot of dead facility operators if they're around. So there are tricks like that. Now, apparently the centrifuges have not yet been installed. And the way to think of a centrifuge plant is like a giant plumbing assembly. There are pipes running everywhere. And centrifuges, when they're working, run 24/7. They don't stop. And you'll want to know if the centrifuge is an old design or a new design as well.
Based on the Iranians' record of not disclosing this plant near the city of Qom until it was evident that the U.S. and other countries were aware of it, can Iranian declarations about the nuclear program be accepted or be trusted?
Well, this takes me back to a real deja vu. I remember in 1991 explaining to very senior Iraqi authorities that if they continued deception and lying and letting us discover stuff before they declared it, eventually we would not believe them even if they started telling the truth. I think the Iranians are on the cusp of that point where even if they're fully cooperative in this inspection that is now going to take place at this facility, no one will be terribly satisfied about it. And I'll give you two examples. The inspectors have asked for 2 years to interview a series of Iranian scientists by name. The Iranians have refused to make them available. They've asked about something discovered in a computer called the Green Salt Project. The Iranians have refused to answer any of those questions. So from an inspector's point of view, this is behavior that really makes it difficult to build any sort of relationship on confidence.
To remind people, when you were inspecting back in the early 1990s in Iraq, they did have a nuclear weapons program, and indeed the world didn't believe them 10 years later when they said they didn't have one, and indeed that was the case.
That's exactly right. The amount of distrust that had been built up by what some call the cat and mouse game, I never liked that term, the deception and denial behavior of the Iraqis, led to a situation where even when they tried to tell the truth, which was seldom, but when they tried to, no one believed them.
David Kay, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
David Kay, former weapons inspector, is now with the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies.